Today on Real Radio.
It's free. Cost him everything. It's not cheap, though it's free. Are you with me? Yes. It cost him everything not to provide something cheap. It cost him everything to provide something priceless. And it's yours for the taking, if you take it. Jesus removed your sin and mine.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. It's a section in Paul's text that speaks of what many call the great exchange. In fact, as verse 21 reads, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, "Will You Come With Us?"
And one of the signs of him being near to coming is that there's the dragnet. He's going to kind of step it out. You're going to start seeing, I think, a lot more people globally. I mean, look at the Chinese. Supposedly, you can't have hard numbers on this because a lot of it's secret and gets out by word of mouth. But we are hearing about Chinese coming to Christ and being born again in numbers that dwarf numbers anywhere else in the world right now. Why? Jesus is coming back. He's coming for his church. What about Russia? Remember when Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall"? Hey, that was an amazing thing. But you know what I think now, knowing what's happened? I think God was using Ronald Reagan to get that wall down, because as soon as it came down, 600,000 Russian-born Jews made it back to Israel. At the same time, while they were leaving, some of us were in airplanes going. As soon as that wall came down, we were in Red Square preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel, 71 years. You couldn't mention Jesus publicly in Russia, and we were there preaching Christ in front of the Kremlin, in front of Lenin's tomb. And soldiers were there. They couldn't do anything, but they were listening. I got more kisses and hugs by women in Russia than anybody anywhere at any time, including my wife. The interesting thing was they were all over 80 years of age. And they all said, "I was 10 years old when the communists came and took our Bibles away and burned them in the front of our village and said God was dead. And we prayed that this would happen in our country." Why? Because listen, God's coming back. Christ is coming back. And there's going to come a moment. He's not willing that any should perish. That's true. Oh, that's cool. Well, then I don't have to worry about it. Read the fine print. He's not willing that you wind up in hell. But time's running out. You need to make a decision. You need to follow us. We're following Christ. Come on, let's go. And if you don't make the decision, there's going to come a day when the door shuts and you're left out. And it's hell. Wow. Point number two this morning is this, found in verses, latter end of verse 20 and 21, is this: will you come with us? Because our God offers you peace with him. He says, be reconciled to God at the end of verse 20. Why? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. I can't think of any greater news than what I just said right there. This is amazing. Absolutely awesome. Beyond human imagination, that a Savior would be concocted in the minds of a man or men that would do this. This is only from the heart of God. You see, we may not appreciate it much because we have a very low value of sin. You know, there's people that walk around, and I understand, sort of, "Oh, I just can't believe in a hell. It just seems too bad." I understand that to a point. But when I read my Bible and it reveals the nature of Christ and the love of God and the heart of God, the more I see the value of Christ and his offering on the cross, who died there? When I look at that, now I begin to understand that hell is justified by the magnitude of the rejection of the valued provision. What God provided is beyond human estimation. See, when people write books that there's no hell, it's simply tells me they've never looked into the face of God and understood the price that was paid for sin. God did it all so that nobody would wind up being lost. Peace with God. No more at war with God. How does he do this? Peace by removing. Peace by removal. Be reconciled to God. Write this verse down. It's awesome. Colossians chapter 1. Are you guys okay? You know, I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks, first service has been real quiet. What's up? You guys okay? Is it the weather? Is it not hot enough for you? I know, yeah, okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Listen to this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, Jesus, the firstborn. The word means preeminent. He was in existence before all of creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. Not only bug life and microscopic life, but us and even angelic life was created by Christ. That's the word principality or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, watch how things are removed, sins removed, all the fullness should dwell. That is, the Godhead resides in Christ. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. How do I get peace with God? The blood of Christ on Christ's cross. It's free. Cost him everything. It's not cheap, though it's free. Are you with me? It cost him everything, not to provide something cheap. It cost him everything to provide something priceless. And it's yours for the taking, if you take it. Jesus removed your sin and mine. This even gets better. This is like a zoom in. Watch this next verse. It's like zooming the microscope in. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all, listen, having forgiven you all trespasses, verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. That's, you know, every time you blow it, imagine a police officer. Imagine you driving around town and he's not following you. You have a trailer and he's sitting in the trailer behind you. You didn't use your blinker. You didn't slow down in time. You made that lane change too quick. You're going too fast. You're going too slow. Imagine, handwriting, handwriting, handwriting. The Bible says every one of us had a handwriting of ordinances that were against us. Oh my gosh. Well, what happened to those things? Well, it says, which was contrary to us, he has taken out of the way, nailing them, having nailed them to his cross. Oh man. Peace through perfection. Verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin. That's Jesus. Sinless. Has someone told you that the Jesus of Islam is the same Jesus of the Bible? Well, did you know that the Jesus of Islam is a sinner Jesus? It's not the same Jesus. The Bible Jesus knew no sin. Perfect. Has Jehovah Witnesses talked to you lately about Jesus? Well, they say you know him by the name Jesus. We know him by his real name. Oh, really? Well, tell me. What is his real name? Oh, his name's Michael. He's an angel. You guys mistaken him. You made him a Messiah. He's actually Michael the Archangel. He goes by a different name. Did you know that's what they believe at your doorstep? Did you know that Mormons, as sweet as they are, offer you a different Jesus at your doorstep? He's Satan's brother in Mormonism. And he's one of many, 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 many gods. And Jesus is God that he answers to? Is Adam. in Mormonism. Did you know that? I'm talking about the Bible Jesus is the only one perfect. Amen. The Bible Jesus is the one who came from heaven to earth with a mission. And that mission, once it gets into our hearts, he asks us to turn around and to go out to the ends of the earth and invite people as ambassadors to come and be set free and to know peace and to have forgiveness and to have hell evaporated from their lives. Heaven is in sight, all by the perfection of Christ. There's a way back to God, all right, but it demands perfection. I can't do it. That's okay. Jesus did. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Back to the Old Testament. Listen, this year. That's 743 years before Jesus. Isaiah 43, 5 says, but speaking of the Messiah, he was wounded. He's looking ahead. Isaiah's looking down the hallway of prophecy, of history, and he looks ahead prophetically. He was wounded for our transgressions. Read your Old Testament. Who died for our sins? He was bruised for our iniquities. David didn't do that. Caleb didn't do that. Moses didn't do this. He was chastised for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. Boom. God bless you. See you later. I mean, is that amazing? That's Old Testament. Announcing the Messiah would do this. Your involvement, my involvement, repent of our sins, agree with God, follow Christ. Tell the world. Anything else we're living for is wood, hay, and stubble at best. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, of whom I am chief. Isn't that great? The Apostle Paul said that. Imagine if you saw Paul, right? I mean, we know he wasn't beautiful physically. He was ugly, little, ugly. I mean, he was well known for his ugliness. Not attractive guy. So he's like, you know, little guy, hunchback. And he says, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying? I'm telling you. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. But I think he would have said it this way. Of whom I am chief. Why are you so happy, Paul, about announcing you're a sinner? Because the person who's forgiven much loves much. The person who was bound and destined to hell the most understands what he's been rescued from. That's why you can't stop this guy, Paul. To live as Christ, to die as gain. How do you stop somebody like that? That's a conundrum. We'll kill you. Okay. We'll let you live. Okay. You like that, huh? Well, then we're going to kill you. Fine. That should be the mission of the Christian. We're going to kill you. Bring it on. Oh, it makes you happy, huh? Well, then we're going to let you live. All right. What do you do with somebody like that? It's awesome. Only by Jesus' perfection. And then look at verse 21. Peace by transfer. Peace by transfer. To be sin for us. This is amazing. Friends, listen. Mark this. Jesus Christ would become sin for us. Notice the Bible doesn't say Jesus Christ became a sinner. He's pure, perfect. He became sin. Our sins were laid upon him. God the Father looked at the cross and looked at his son upon the cross. And he said, I'm putting my sin, the sins of the world upon him, my son. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, I believe it is. I think it's verse 13 to 17. I don't know. I haven't read it in a while, but you go look and see. The eyes of the Lord are too pure to behold evil. No wonder why Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew what was going on. Well, then why did he say that? Because he was fulfilling Psalm 22, the Psalm 22 of the Messiah. Israel's Messiah would come, and they would recognize him by him announcing to the nation that God is forsaking the offering, because the offering, listen, God is forsaking the offering, so to speak, because what was perfect became polluted, but in that transfer, the offering was accepted. No wonder why the Bible says, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John 1:29. Why did John say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? Because Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. The innocent Lamb. All of Israel's sins up until that moment would be laid upon the animal, the priest would pronounce, and the nation would have atonement for the year. John announces, it's not the lamb down the street in the pen. John says, there he goes. John the Baptist says, there he is right there. The Lamb of God who takes away not the sins of the Jews, but the sins of what? The world. Do you understand? This is a Jewish man announcing this about a Jew walking by, that the world's Messiah would come from Jewish roots. John the Baptist said it about Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. John 19:30 says, and when Jesus had received the sour wine on the cross, it says, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Mark 15:33, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Again, look on your screen, Psalm 22 being fulfilled. Revelation 5, verse 6, John said, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders that is in heaven, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Verse 21, point number 3, we end with this. Will you come with us? Because our God offers you life through him. Amen. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Please underline that, memorize it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible announces, listen, the Bible announces right here, verse 21, that the righteousness of God Almighty, that is your account. You have a bank account? God intervenes in your bank account, looks at your poverty or your wealth, and says, that's nothing. Let me see. File or edit, copy, highlight, delete. God goes over to his ledger in heaven, edit, highlight, copy, brings it over to your account, paste. Paste what? All the riches in Christ. Amen. Look, we need to wake up and understand something here. As Christians, we drag our mug around in a defeated state, and I think heaven weeps. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you, and it's like you owning a Rolls Royce and you drive around in my Volkswagen. God's done it all. We settle for so little. And we're not joyful. Our joy gets set back at the first bump in the road. Should never happen. If we understand where we're seated in the heavens with Christ. God did it all. And the Bible announces the greatest thing of all. His righteousness has been imparted to our account. And you look at you and I look at me and I say, scumball, dope. God, when am I going to be delivered from this thing? I start out the day with pure intentions. I want to just serve you and be so holy all day. And by noon, I got upset at that guy on the freeway. And I yelled at the printer machine for cutting my finger with the thing. And you know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me? And I have to stop and remember, wait a minute. The Bible says God has transferred his positional righteousness to my positional account in heaven. I need to start acting like that. Lord, I'll destroy myself. So I need you to possess me by your spirit today. And start living with God's provision behind you and under you and around you. Absolute assurance comes through him. We'll end very quickly. It's no big deal. Listen, I mean, it is a big deal. It's just no big deal time-wise. Simple. God offers you life through him. Come with us because why? He offers you absolute assurance. It's his righteousness. Look at your Bible. This is the Bible. It says, you've been reconciled to God. His righteousness has been given to you. You have absolute assurance. If you don't have absolute assurance, you're not meditating on God's word. Secondly, you have complete acceptance. Complete acceptance. The Bible says now there's therefore Romans 8:1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the negative announcement. There's no condemnation, which is good news, don't get me wrong, but it's a negative declaration. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. So cool. So cool. Listen, if I were Jesus standing here right now, I would, for example, pick you up, put you inside my robe, just tuck you in. You're now in Christ. Jesus walks into heaven and says, hi, Father. The Father doesn't go, what are you bringing in here? Why? He doesn't, beep. What's this? No. God knows you're in Christ, and as long as you're in Christ, you're in. You're declared righteous by God. Yeah, but what about, stop. No. Reconciled to God. Reconciled. He already did it. Accept it. Receive what he's done. Finally, this. Eternal security. What? Of course. What kind of a gospel would it be if you didn't have eternal security? Well, there's a lot of debate about that. Yeah, by people who, I don't know what their problem is, trying to sell books or something. Do you think we should risk arm and limb to go to the ends of the earth, traffic through jungles and look at and have bugs chasing us and stuff like that? To tell somebody, accept Christ. And you know, if you do, it could work out good for you in the end. I'm not really sure yet. I'm trying to figure it out for myself. No, just stay home. Get a TV dinner or something and watch roller derby. The young people are going, is that a new program? Jesus says, go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. It's called good news, the evangel. If you can't, listen, I believe in the eternal security of the born-again believer. You can write me letters and argue all you want to. I think you're crazy to try to reject such a wonderful announcement. If you're born again, if you're you've experienced the regeneration of God, you're born again. The problem is there's a lot of people trafficking in and out of church every day that consider themselves Christian or religious, and they've never been born again. And in time, they wind up going back into the world, and people get confused and say things like, they must have lost their salvation. Well, I don't think they ever had it. Because if you're born again, you'll know exactly what I mean when they say, will you come with us and tell the world before time runs out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Will You Come With Us? It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Will you come with us? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, it is Monday, which means that you can catch another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. You see, every week there's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs TV broadcast. Pastor Jack sits down with guests, speakers, and authors to talk about issues and current events facing the church as a whole, as well as individual believers. Things like same-sex marriage, abortion, evangelism, apologetics, the list goes on. It's a real interesting program. We think you're going to like it. So join us tonight and every Monday night for another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.